got shaken up. Shaken up. Well, in the beginning, as this is called worship, as we gather in His name this morning, we realize that these words from Genesis 1:1-5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the heavens. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. David Crowder, writer, wrote this song called I Am. Together this morning. Thank you.
A lot of times the Lord is holding on to us more than we hold on to Him, isn't it? Good to see you here today. This is probably one of the most important parts, one of the most important times of the week. It's a different kind of a time for us to stop from all that we've been doing during the week, and we get to focus in this morning on being before God in His presence and saying, Lord, and He already knows what's going on in your hearts and in your lives, but He really wants to come close to you and reassure you how much He cares about you and how much He loves you. So hold on to Him if you're not, because that's kind of what we're about. As a church, we keep pointing people to Jesus Christ, knowing that He is the one who is going to bring peace to us individually and even to us as we live in this country. And a lot of times, our country doesn't even want to have anything to do with the real peacemaker, who is Jesus Christ, and that's kind of the reason where things are the way they are. They just don't have Jesus. So I want to just make some things known to you this morning in the bulletin. If you received one, just to let you know that the prayer group that meets at 10 o'clock on Tuesdays, they're going to meet Thursday at 9:30. So if you want to be a part of the prayer group, it's going to be Thursday this week at 9:30. And the council meeting will be at 7 o'clock this Tuesday night, as we regularly do once a month. This past week, we did have prayer time in the fireside room. Kind of went along with a bunch of other LCMC churches. LCMC means Lutheran Churches in Mission for Christ. And Tuesday, we met. There's probably about 12 people who showed up. I got like a frog in my throat here. Only it's not a frog. It's just, we call it a frog. It's something in there. I probably need some water. I don't know. But we did meet at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week, and focused on Tuesday was confession, on Wednesday it was petition, and Thursday it was on vision. And if you'd want one of those half sheets that had some guidelines and some direction for us on how to pray and what we prayed about, you can get that at the church office and call Charlie this week, and she'd be more than glad to give them to you. Just to remind you, too, that Thursday, we will continue our study on the book of Revelation at noon, from noon to 1. And the men's breakfast is the first Saturday of every month at 7:30. Well, thank you very much. Excuse me. I think that feels better. I'll try it again. Okay. You notice in the bulletin that there are a number of people that are on our prayer list. Our nation and President Trump would be one of them. Who'd ever think of what we were able to see on Wednesday, what kind of happened in the people's place? No, just can't understand how some of these things take place, and that's beyond me. But we know that we need to pray for our country as well as the election results that will be taking place next week as well. Denny Kelly, Walt Meyer, Dorothy Cherry, Gay Man, Shirley Berry, Gordon Willett, Peggy Williams, Rick Hayes, and some others that are not on our list. I think of Skip Hughes. Skip Hughes was put in the hospital, I think, here last night or yesterday. He's got pneumonia. He's here at Spirit Lake, I believe, is where he's at. So keep Colette and Skip in your prayers. Patty Griffiths, who's on her way to Tanzania. Did she get there? Anybody know if she got there?
She did.
She got there.
She sent a picture of herself. Eating chicken with Lawrence, so
okay.
She has safely arrived.
She got there. That's good to know. Jeff Kyle called here last night and said that there was a woman that he was instrumental in leading her to Christ, as they needed to get an interpreter. And he's known this woman for many years. But he said, "Hey, we need to get you to somebody that knows Spanish." And so the pastor's wife, of course, she knows how to speak the language, and so he took her over to the pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife kind of took over from there, and the end result is that she came to know Jesus as her Savior. And it's just a wonderful thing, and he was pretty excited about being a part of all of that. And so I just share that with you as well. I just want to remember Dave Conway is kind of got some, there's a medical word for swelling of legs. And he just, it's not comfortable. He's here today, but we're going to pray for Dave this morning. And another person, and I don't think she's here, but Vicki here? Vicki Anderson, Dwayne is her husband, very new to Harbor of Joy, but Dwayne has ALS. And I've seen him a couple of times in his home. He was here last week for communion. And just want you to remember them in your prayers, Dwayne and Vicki, as he was diagnosed with ALS in 2017, I believe. And so it's a very hard thing for anyone to go through, as well as a caregiver as well. Excuse me here. So let's just take some time to pray this morning together. Heavenly Father, I'm glad that we can unite our hearts together this morning and lift up our friends. Some we know well, some we don't know. Some we kind of know. But Lord, we know that it is you who we go to in times like these, when there's uncertainty, when there are struggles taking place that we would rather not have to deal with. And yet, each day brings its own issues, pain, and problems. And so, Lord, we rely on you. And may you just put your arms around each and every one of us here this morning, no matter what state we are in, here in the United States, those listening on Zoom, you probably have concerns as well as you listen to me pray, even at this particular point in time. But we come to you, Lord, because you are the great I Am. And you hold on to us and you see us through things that we are so weak. And a lot of times there's nothing you can do but trust you. We can trust you, Lord, because that's who you are. You are truth. You are true. You are faithful. And so, Lord, we just pray for Dave here this morning and all the others that have been talked about here in our prayer request list this morning. And there's probably some here, Lord, that I didn't mention. That you know who they are, you know what they're going through. And so, Lord, come to us. Touch our hearts. Touch our lives. Touch our bodies. By your Holy Spirit. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to shed tears. It's just good to be in your presence this morning. And so may you work as we pray in the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, you know, that your will be done. And we don't even know what that really means a lot of times. But you know what's in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit prays for us sometimes when we don't even know what to say. So be with our friends, Lord, in a real special way right now this morning and in the days ahead. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song of the month that I shared with you last week. We continue for this month. It's called Glorious Day.
Thank you.
specifically said Lazarus. If you wouldn't have said Lazarus, everybody in that cemetery would have came up. He's called one name, Lazarus. Well, hopefully the Lord is calling your name this morning to come to Him. Our responsive reading comes from Romans 6, 1 through 11. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase?
By no means. We are those who are as a sin. How can we live there?
Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?
We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into the death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we should be living in life.
For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His.
For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. We shall no longer be slaves to sin.
Because everyone who has died has been set free from sin.
Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him.
We know that since Christ is raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him.
The death He died to sin once for all. He lives to God.
We must say,
God is not dead as a sinner, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
I invite you to stand as we sing the verses of Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Dead as sin, alive to Christ.
Composer. His name is Danny Gokey. He wrote a song called Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, and maybe some of you have heard it, but his background is that he had lost his wife early in their marriage, and so this was a big devastation for him. So from this song a little bit, it kind of talks about that. We're all going through things that at times, or maybe right now, that you say, wow, this was a big blow here. I mean, this was something that I wasn't planning on. And so this Danny is going to tell you about the song, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, and that his how he kind of got the words and the inspiration for it. So hopefully you can take it all in here this morning.
When I first heard Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, it had such an amazing impact on my heart. You know, not only in its lyrical content, but then when I heard the story behind it, it really changed the way I looked at the song. There was a pastor in Ohio who had a heart surgeon that went to his church. But one of the things that this pastor wanted to do was he wanted to see a heart surgery take place. And when the day of the surgery came, they brought the patient in, and they began to cut her chest cavity open, they took her heart out. Start the heart again before you close the chest cavity. And as they began to do the procedures to start the heart wouldn't start. It's something so out of the textbook and not written out, just something that you really don't do. You got the heart disease. He said, "This is Johnson. This is your doctor." He said, "We have fixed your heart. We're prepared. There's nothing wrong with your heart. This Johnson, if you can do it, I need you to turn your heart to me again. Share this story with you, because the great physician has fixed your heart and my heart. And I find it interesting that sometimes we allow the voice of the enemy to whisper louder than the voice of our Father. It seems like some of these voices tell us that, you know what, that situation will never recover from. Or what that person did, we can never forgive again. But I'm here to let you know that you can forgive again. You can get back up again. You can move forward with your life. And you don't have to walk with a limp. It's simply like this doctor said to this lady. This lady had to come to agreement. The heart was repaired. God has fixed your problem. Your heart is fixed. But you have to come in agreement with God. You have to look at my story. I look at how I went through loss and how to get myself back up. When I look at the pain of my past, it doesn't sting like it used to. When I look back and I see, look what the Lord has done. And I know God wants to do the same for you. I want you to begin to hope again. He wants you to believe again. He wants you to trust again. The great physician, our Father, through Jesus, wants you to tell your heart to beat again. When I first heard Tell Your Heart to Beat Again, thank you.
discouraged. You know, it can be a lot of different ways. Even though, you know, you look nice, probably smell nice, but only God really knows what's going on inside of you this morning. That's okay. He knows how to best to deal with us. I invite you to stand as we hear God's word this morning from His word, from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 4 through 11 says this. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Our Heavenly Father, as we hear your word, as we read your word, may you reveal to us what you want us to hear today and to glean that will make a difference in our hearts and in our lives today. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Did you realize that all four of the gospel writers, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all talk about John the Baptist? It's kind of like the beginning point. And of course, John the Baptist was prophesied that he would come to announce the Messiah when the day would come. So you go way back to Isaiah, which is 500-600 years before John the Baptist comes and Jesus comes. It goes back to the minor prophet of Malachi, who also talked about one who would come. And so we have before us today the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. But John the Baptist was the one who was the voice calling out in the wilderness. He was kind of the first one of letting the people know that God is up to something. God is stirring what's going to go on in the lives of the people. You know, stirring is okay. The thought about stirring, you know, I'm thinking of my wife makes great chocolate cake. And so she puts it all together. But you know, my idea was that I was going to put all the ingredients in a bowl up here today, but I wasn't going to stir it and ask who wants to eat it. It needs to be stirred. Because something good will come out of the stirring. And when it's baked. And so God can be stirring in your heart and in your life today, with the intention of something good that he wants to do and to bring to your attention or to bring out of your life that you have no idea what that is going to be. John the Baptist is really a different kind of a preacher in his day. He didn't wear the same kind of outfit or robes that the other religious leaders wore. And he didn't have a church building or a nice synagogue to preach from. If you wanted to go and hear John the Baptist preach, you had to go to the Jordan River, which is about 20 miles from Jerusalem, close to the Dead Sea. That's where the Jordan River flows into, but there's no outlet, and therefore the sea is dead. But you'd have to walk that far. And, you know, it's easy getting down to where he's at because Jerusalem is up high. Where the Dead Sea is, it's the lowest point on the earth. It's around, it'll be close to 1,400 feet below sea level. So going down to see John the Baptist would be no problem. Hey, we can do that. It is after you've been there, you then have to be walking uphill wherever you live. And if you went to Jerusalem, it was quite a walk. But John knows that God has called him to be the person to tell people what they need to hear. Not what people want to hear, but he needs to tell them what they need to hear. And his ministry had to do with repentance. Telling people that they are sinners and they need to turn from their sins and come back to God, get right with God. And you have people who may agree with that, but then who say, like, he's telling me and asking me that to come into the Jordan River, the water, I can't even swim. Unless we come into the water and then to be baptized after I confess my sin. Now that would be a problem for somebody like me. I don't like getting my head underwater. And I don't like being in the water unless my feet can touch the bottom. But John, that was his ministry. And word of mouth spread to people of saying, hey, there's this kind of a, he's got to be a prophet because he's out there telling the things of God, what God wants him to say. And what he's saying is really truthful. It is good. You need to go hear him. And word spreads. Repentance is a changing of one's mind. That's what it means. You change your mind because you see yourself going away from God rather than walking with him. That's not a fun place to be when you realize you're not walking with God. I was baptized as a baby in a Lutheran church. When I was 16, I heard for the first time where I understood the gospel. And I had questions. God was stirring in my heart different times throughout my young life about heaven. And I'm going, I really want to go there. And I was really young. I don't even remember how old I was. But I remember going into the kitchen where my mom was. I think I was probably around maybe 5, 6 years old. And I said, Mom, I want us all to know that we're going to heaven. And my mom said, ah, we're all going, we'll be there together. And that's all I needed to hear from her. I go like, okay, good. We're all going to be together. Because I couldn't imagine not being together with the family I grew up with. But then I knew that, got into my teenage years, I was seeding wild oats. Anybody know what that's like? It's not good. And yet I'm thinking that I could still go to church and I still could live the way I wanted to live away from church. And it wasn't any good. And then one night was a Lowell Lundstrom concert. Lowell Lundstrom had just mentioned that if you died tonight, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? I really didn't know. I know I wanted to go to heaven. But after he was done preaching, all I could do was go like, I'm not going to heaven. I've been caught. I've been the biggest sinner there ever is. There's no way I can say I'm going to heaven. And I'm thankful he was there to help me and to point me in the right direction. And there's others there to show me in the scriptures, in the Bible, how you can know that you're forgiven. And that God will work in your life and help you live a different way. I never knew that was possible. But it's true. We live in a day today where, what is true? Do you believe everything you read on the internet? Do you believe everything you hear on TV? Do you believe everything you hear on the radio? And we go like, what's true nowadays? But we can always trust God's word. It's true. It never changes. John the Baptist dressed differently, and his diet was different, wasn't it? Locusts, dipped grasshoppers and honey. Should try that sometime. Around here, we couldn't even find them. In today's world, John the Baptist would be looked upon as some kind of a religious kook, religious fanatic. And he was just doing what God had asked him to do. And so John the Baptist is kind of out there stirring the people's consciences and telling them the truth, what God says in his word. And he preached an unpopular message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He wanted people to confess their sins, to change their mind, knowing that they are sinners and they need God's forgiveness. And in studying of this passage and in the Greek, you know that before the people were baptized by John the Baptist, they openly spoke in confessing their sin. Can you imagine that happening today? Here's my sin. John the Baptist would not baptize the person unless they told him, what's your sin? I found that kind of like, wow. He got down to the nitty-gritty. But yet he said, this is what's best for you. To confess your sin. To turn from your evil ways, your wicked ways. So the people went to hear him preach. It says here in our text that they came from all over the place. The area of Judea, which is the area of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is up high. I've been there. And on the east side of Jerusalem, it's very arid. And you get down towards the Dead Sea, it's about the same way. Not a whole lot grows there unless it's irrigated. But there's no irrigation system that I know of back in the day when Jesus was walking, when John the Baptist was preaching. And when the people go, they didn't hear any warm, fuzzy kind of a message. Did they? You didn't hear John the Baptist saying, hey, good to see everybody here this morning. You're looking good. Oh, do I have a good message for you guys today? You're going to leave here with a warm, fuzzy message. John the Baptist was like that. He wanted you to know that you need to mean business with God. How many times do you think about where are you going to eat after church today? Or where are you going to go and what are you going to do? You know, I know how your mind works because my mind works the same way. You think about a lot of other things. But to John the Baptist, he had one thing in mind that was needed. People needed to hear God's word. And he told them. And so those who came were more likely were people that God had already begun, started stirring in their hearts and their lives. Now remember, in the day, this day that this happens, there is not a whole lot happening in God's time here. Because in between the Malachi and Matthew, in between the two testaments, there's about 400 years where God is silent. God's not speaking. There's still religious leaders that are there and they're reading the scriptures, but it's kind of like nothing seems to be happening. So you think of 400 years, that's the number of generations that never heard God. Never saw anything at work. But now, with John the Baptist coming onto the scene, it's a different story. The new beginning is going to be taking place here with John the Baptist. And the good news is that you're a sinner, which is not the good news. But God can take a sinner and forgive them and give them a new life. Just like the song we sang today that, you know, you take off them grave clothes. Come out of that grave. God's able to do that. No matter what your age is. So the people who came out were probably people that were spiritually hungry and thirsty for the Lord. And you had some who were just curious. Just kind of want to see what this guy looks like, what he was preaching on, what he was saying, what was happening. Watching to see who went out into the water and who got baptized and who didn't. He also had his critics there too. The Pharisees and the Sadducees went out there just to, I don't like what he says. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't even like what he eats. And they go back and tell the others in Jerusalem, this guy's nuts that's out there preaching. Don't have to worry about him. He's crazy. You know, I've heard some troubling things on the news, which you probably should not listen to. But if you are a believer in Christ, you get blamed for what Trump is doing. Have you picked that up? And saw a little caption that said, President Trump is going to be done in just a number of days. That's fine. Actually said, he's going to be dead. We just don't know what to do with his movement. They don't know what to do with those who are following, which are basically evangelical people. And so don't be surprised if they start coming after us. You know, it's happened in history before. Why not today? Where we have to make a stand for what is true and what is right. I've said before, I'll say it again today, that I don't think anybody has any problem in just saying, hey, as long as an election is done right, it's truthful, fine. I can live with the results. But I don't think it was. Still have to deal with it. Maybe you're here too with that same kind of thought. We find that John the Baptist, his message, it was about Jesus. And that's where we have to keep our eyes, my friends, on Jesus Christ. The last thing that Jesus wants his church to be, as well as those in his church, he does not want us to become complacent and comfortable and do what is convenient, but that we are committed to Him. John the Baptist tells the people who came, he says, that after me will come one more powerful than I. The straps of his sandals, the thongs of his sandals, I am not worthy to even stoop down and to untie. For I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus comes when John is out there preaching, and Jesus shows up. And it is John who tells Jesus, hey, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. And Jesus just said to John, John, just do it. And Jesus needs to identify with us. Even in baptism, he identifies that he had no sin. There was nothing for him to confess. But he identifies with humanity and with us. And John baptizes him. Reluctantly, but he did. There are missionaries that are in Japan and Taiwan today and who have gone through this for a number of decades. They are out there to reach people for Jesus Christ, called converts, that they would come to believe in Jesus and become Christians. And they do see that taking place, but then it's the next step in their faith that they encounter, and that is, you come to believe, now you need to be baptized. And what they are finding on the mission field is this: there will be many who will come to believe, but when it comes to be baptized, they go, I'm not too sure I want to do that. Why? It's not only in Japan and Taiwan. It can also be anywhere else on the globe. But it's because you need to identify yourself with Jesus Christ. In Japan and Taiwan, there are what they call a family altar in the house or in the home. And that is where they worship their ancestors. And so they tell their family, I'm going to be baptized as a Christian and to believe in Jesus Christ. The family will go like, no, don't do that. Don't get too fanatical. Because you're going to make our ancestors' spirits angry. And something bad's going to happen to our family if you leave our ancestors' worship and what they believed in. And so that's where the missionaries today have to deal with those kinds of situations. For us, it's like, I might change a church. And nowadays people say what? Well, as long as you go to church, it's all that matters. Well, sometimes you have to go a little underneath that to go like, well, what does the church teach and believe? It's very important. We also find in our text today that Jesus, well, we find the Trinity, the teaching of the Trinity is here. You see it? Jesus is there in person with John the Baptist. We find as he comes out of the water, it says, it looks like a dove comes down, which is the Spirit, comes down and lands on him. And then there is a voice of God, the Father, who says, you are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased. The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are right there at Jesus' baptism. And this is where we look at as the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because as soon as he's baptized, where does the Spirit take him? Out to the desert, to the wilderness, to be tempted. for 40 days and 40 nights. When we come to believe, you can expect there to be problems and suffering and issues you never thought of. If they did this to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to you. The way they treated Jesus when they crucified him is the same way they're going to look at you and me today if you're a believer in Jesus. They'd rather crucify you than to listen to you. So has God been stirring your heart lately? Is there a stirring that's happening in our country, the United States, and around the world? We know the COVID-19 definitely has been some stirring going on. A lot of people are going like, what do you think God is trying to say to us? I said, I wish I really knew. But I can say that the Lord is just saying, hang in there. Hold on. Don't give up. If it's not COVID-19, how about the national election? You know, when God starts stirring, there's things how we can know that He's doing it. Because we will want to get closer to Him. We'll want to get closer to God. We don't want to get further away from Him. We want to get closer to Him. We will want to be hearing His Word. We want to be in His Word. We want to be reading the Bible for ourselves. It's okay to come on church and to hear somebody like me preach. But God still wants to speak to you personally in His Word. How about prayer? Prayer. You know, we got a prayer, kind of a little thing we promoted and talked about praying this past week. You know, that prayer room should have been full. It should have been full of people. Standing room only. But of course, Corbett's got to have 6 feet away. But there should have been a lot of people. Each day, it got less. You know, the time we find ourselves in the uncertainty of COVID and the election and all other kind of things, maybe different things happening to you personally, there's a time to pray. That's where I want to be. I don't know if it's that way in other countries around the world. If there's a prayer meeting and people come, or if they just stay away, I don't know. But sometimes what do we say? Oh, I got other things to do. I got more important things to do. Or, I just forgot. But I don't find anyone calling the church office saying, Pastor, what did I miss? I was going to get there today and I forgot. What did I miss out on in prayer today? I didn't have one call like that. But we want to be with other believers. We want to share our faith with others. Those are just simple, basic things with Christianity. Things that you want to do. Not because you have to do it, but you want to do that. And when you look at the spiritual temperature of a church, those are the things you want to see happening, just like putting oil in the engine of a vehicle. It's what will keep it running. Depends upon the want to. This is what I want to do. John the Baptist didn't want people to get busier by serving God. He wanted them to get right with God. And to confess their sins. Not a popular subject today. So he came, John the Baptist came to stir the people spiritually and to make them think more about their relationship with God. There's a song like this. I'm going to close with this song. And it's called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glorious grace. Do you need to turn your eyes to Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chorus or that song. I don't understand it or comprehend it completely, but I do know this, is that when we have our eyes looking to you, whatever happens around us or even in our country, it says that it'll grow strangely dim. Jesus makes a difference. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. Today and every day, no matter what we are experiencing, no matter what we are going through, our heart's prayer today is, Lord, turn my eyes upon you. May we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May we stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just to let you know that following the service, I'm just going to stay up here today rather than trying to mingle with you guys out there. If you want to talk or just say something, I'll just be up here. And I just want you to know that. So don't be looking for me back there. I'll just stay up here after we're done singing. And the benediction today is one that comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, where it says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace." Amen.
My greatly numerous praise, my glories are the wide.
Jesus.